I'd like first to return to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've been thinking about how wonderful it is for God to take into account that we know little or nothing about what the future holds until we know who holds the future. We have become a part of the family of God by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are now in Christ, and Christ is in us. And it's so wonderful that we have the Word of God, and it helps us to understand what the future holds. And this chapter is a wonderful chapter. It just delights your soul to read through it and clears up, brings light to bear on this subject of what's next. And so let's read this chapter, and I can assure you, John, things will be brief tonight. We want to make ample time for the choir to practice, and we'll be out of here very shortly. So don't get anxious about the time. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether absent, present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that will manifest of God, and that I trust also made manifest to your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors to Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, he that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And shall we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this privilege of assembly. We have the privilege of gathering with your people, those of like precious faith. And we're so thankful that we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God in our hands daily. We can read and meditate upon thy Word. We can meditate, and you have given by the Spirit of God the discernment that we need to understand what you're saying to us. You said so many wonderful things to us, Lord. We thank you for it. Tonight we read again, and we're thinking about the future. We're thinking about what lies just beyond the sunset. Oh, our God, minister to the heart's need of those like Jimmy and others at this time that are sorrowing. And again we say, we sorrow not as though we could have no hope. So Lord, we thank you again for this privilege today. It's been a delightful day with the people of God around the Word of God. And grant, we pray thee, that tonight you will speak to our hearts, and you will cause the joy of heaven to fill our souls. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask you. Amen. I'd like for us to think about the future. Certainly, your mind turns to the future when you have been exposed to the things that sometimes tell us that I've never been beyond that point. None of us have ever had the experience of Paul, I don't think, and caught up into the third heaven, so we're limited in our understanding sometimes of what's just over the hill. What will happen when that happens to us and we take that last breath, and what will it be like? Well, Paul shed some light, a lot of light, on that subject, and I'm thankful for it because it encourages us to know what the future holds for us. And in thinking about that, we look at his reference here to this earthly house. He calls it a tabernacle, which is, incidentally, just a temporary dwelling place. Tabernacles were not usually set up as a permanent dwelling or a place, temporary. We're going to build something bigger. We're going to have something better. Bigger and better lies in the future. And don't you know heaven's going to be wonderful? All that we know about it, and we don't know a whole lot, but at least we sometimes close our eyes and maybe we fantasize a little and we think about what it's going to be like in heaven. We come up with, oh, it's going to be wonderful. Yeah, it is going to be wonderful. It's going to be exciting to be in that place. Enlightenment. It won't be any more doubting. It won't be any more wondering about what it's going to be like. We'll be there. But you know, the temporary tabernacle that Paul is talking about, we're reminded here that this earthly house, this tabernacle, if it were dissolved and it's gone, what next? Well, I think we have sufficient evidence to remind us that changed in a moment. That's the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. Changed in a moment into his likeness. To ever be with him and like him.
I thought about this and this temporary dwelling place and the fact that it can be changed.
I wouldn't want to take this earthly body with me into eternity.
And God has made perfect provision for us to have a new body.
A new body, a glorified body, a body that is eternal. It's going to be like the body that our Lord Jesus Christ had. Because it says when we see him, we should be like him. In every way, I think it means literally, physically, we're going to take on his appearance. Be like him. And I like the thought. And we won't be hindered or hampered in any way by all the limitations that take hold of a physical body. We spend a lot of time each week talking to people and people talking to us, and we're telling each other about what has happened and what has failed. My hair's falling out, and my teeth had gone, my eyesight's going dim. I can't do hip hop anymore. Things are just slowing up and breaking down, and I'm telling you, it's not getting any better. Well, so what? There is something far better to come. He's not going to overhaul this body. He's going to give us a new body. And that's wonderful. I think about this. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ experienced this. In his incarnation, the Son of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He has that familiarity with what we experience in our body. He had a body. A body that he suffered in. He had all of the things that you and I face. He says in the Word of God that indeed he is familiar with all our infirmities. He learned obedience to the things that he suffered in his body. You see, we're not left alone with this. Our Lord has been there, and it encourages our hearts when we think about him. We will welcome the change. I've never talked to a believer yet that had been acquainted with what the Word of God says about leaving the earthly tabernacle, the temporary dwelling and being with the Lord, that didn't say, oh, I'll be glad when that takes place. I'm looking forward to the day when there'll be a change. Well, as we think about this, and we're heading for the bottom of the page in this, because it's leading up to you and me being ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ. Not being, but we already are. We have been deputized. We have been chosen. We are a chosen people to live and to glorify God. And he has given us a very important position. He's given us a very important mission to fulfill for his glory and honor. Our goal, of course, is bound up in what we have to say about this thing. We groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Therefore, we're always confident. I like those words. Always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. It's going to get better and better and better. I don't think that the change that will take place, this is my way of looking at it, it's not just going to be a change from one state that we live in now to another state, and it will be something that will be for all eternity, which it will, but there's going to be a constant improvement upon all that we are and know. I don't think it's going to be something that will ever be dull to us in being in heaven. So often, we have to say, the mundane things of life, and my life is such a dull repetition day by day of the same old thing. Not so in heaven. It's a prepared place for prepared people, and God has an agenda. We'll be up early every morning. No, we won't. There is no night there. So, we'll be constantly engaged in what God has planned for.
That's a thrilling thought. It just kind of goes beyond anything that you can take in. But we know. We're confident.
And so Paul says, And these are our words. We said it many times. I'm willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Someone says, you want to die right now? Well, it's God's will. It's okay with me. Because the change will take place. Johnny Lou Guthrie at 3:30 on Friday afternoon. She just gave that last breath, and then she was in the presence. She left that body that had been a source of a lot of pain and a lot of grief to those that had to watch and stay at her side. And yes, she was willing. She had said several times, we heard her say it, oh, I want to go home. I want to go to heaven. And thank God, at this moment, she is with the Lord. That 10th verse reminds us of something that kind of calls us back. But think about this, brother. Think about this, sister. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, what's this all about? I thought judgment was something reserved for those that are dead in trespasses and sin. I didn't know there was going to be any judgment in the future for me. Well, I'll just remind you, this is judgment over the believer's works. What we do with our life. That's why we hear so much preaching from this platform. We hear over BBN. We hear and read so much every day about organizing our lives and living in a certain way. So there will be a glorious reward ahead of us. Instead of perhaps feeling a sense of sorrow because we suffer loss, we shall all receive the things done in his body according that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Doesn't sound right for a believer. Someone that is made righteous and fit for the presence of God. And he still does bad things. But I can assure you, we haven't reached sinless perfection, so I know we do bad things. We do things that are contrary to the will of God. Every day, more than likely. If we're honest. And if we're smart. If you're really smart. You learned how to get down on your knees and say, yeah, Lord, I did it again. I did it again, Lord. I don't know what's wrong with me. Why I keep repeating these same old things over and over. But Lord, I did it again. And I'm confessing. And by the sovereign grace of God and all of his sufficiency, I pray for a victory over this thing that dogs my footsteps. Causes me so much distress. Scripture says he is faithful. He's just in what he does. He forgives us. Because we've confessed it. That's all he's asked of us. Confess it. Don't hide it. Don't go hide it somewhere and say, You know, I'm not going to tell about that. Oh, but you might as well tell about it because he knows everything that's in that little brain of yours. It's like you're living under a microscope almost, and he sees everything. He knows everything about all of us. Can't hide anything from him. So, if you're trying to wait until an appropriate time to confess some of those things that you know are grievous to the Lord, go ahead and confess it now. Be forgiven. Be restored to fellowship with the Lord now. Don't wait. Don't wait. You're not hurting anybody but yourself when you do that. And then when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you can say, how was it as far as your life there? Well, I'll tell you what. I just kept calling on the Lord. I kept confessing those things, and I kept on ministering and serving the Lord and witnessing and living for the Lord. I'm up next. And there's a reward for you. I'd rather have a reward than to suffer loss. We have that crown of righteousness, which every one of us will receive a crown of righteousness. It's all because we've identified with him. But think about it. There are other rewards. And when you get yours, praise the Lord. My brother, my sister received your reward. All of us should look forward to receiving a reward. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. So we have ministry that is assigned to each one of us. Yes, we believe that every believer has a spiritual gift. Many of you with many gifts. I tell you, I warn you, you better be using them. You better be using your gift, brother and sister. You have something you can do for God, you better be doing it. We warn poor sinners, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Because tomorrow will be too late and you'll be lost forever. What about the saints of God? What about us as believers? With all this opportunity to gain a reward, to hear from our blessed Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. So here we have ministry. Here we're a gift. We have a gift. The Spirit of God is able to work in and through us for the glory of God. It's exciting when you begin to think about it. And you want to be a part of it. And you want it to be done according to the way that God has presented us to us in his word. So stay busy for God. We're so reluctant to say, I need a little relaxation. I need some time off. And sometimes we want life to be just one endless vacation. Well, I belong to him. And I'm not my own. I was purchased with a price. I think he should have the right to dictate to you and me what he wants us to do. And if we are sensitive to what we read in this book, the Bible, the Word of God, and we recognize that there's something we can do. I have a gift, a spiritual gift. And I trust you know what that spiritual gift of yours might be. And I trust you're letting the Spirit of God guide and direct you and let you use that gift for God's glory. The love of Christ constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all that he which, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Who are we living for? You know, we think about, I gotta take care of me. I gotta take care of me. Number one is me. No, number one is Christ. The Word of God reminds us, let him have the preeminent place. And let the Spirit of God guide me into what he wants me to do. My ambitions to be whatever it is I want to be, I want to be sure it's what he wants me to be. Those things that I want to do, I want to be sure that's what he wants me to do, not what I want to do. That appeals to me. And it may just appeal to your flesh. That flesh that is so deceitful, that heart that we often talk about. These old hearts of ours are so deceitful. I do the dictates of my heart. Oh, no. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. He is the one that should have control. He is the one that should be directing our lives. And he will guide us along that pathway of righteousness for his glory and his honor. What we're doing is no longer after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, Paul could say that, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. I'm so thankful a change took place. I know of several people that got saved because I got saved. And the only reason they got saved is because they watched me. My own brother. And some of the fellows that we both had as friends. One of them told him, Jack, I know him. I know him. It'll last about 2 or 3 months. He'll get over. That was 57 years ago, and I haven't gotten over it yet. I'm still excited about being born again. I'm still excited about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. You may not be able to detect it just looking at me, but I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I may look at you and I say, what? Yes, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Man that came here one Sunday morning, came in the back door, back there. Well, ladies tell me that's the front door. I used to say something to some ladies that sat back on the back row. I said, why do you take these back seats? They said, these are the front seats. I said, how is that? She said, isn't that the front door? I said, yes. Well, we take the first seats we get to. So these are the first things. Well, when you think about this and the change that takes place, it's a miracle. Don't you recognize that? It's a miracle that someone with that fallen nature that has lived 30 years of his life in the energy of the flesh, and for the glory of flesh, a change takes place. And those that said it won't last but 2 or 3 months, later had to shake their heads and said, it still is a mystery to me. Because some of those people that I have witnessed to over the years, they never could figure it out. I had many, many friends of mine. I started to say I couldn't convince them that they needed Christ, but I told them about him. And they had to recognize that my life had changed. I was different from what I had been in the past. And if they couldn't see that difference, and they did see that difference, but that Sunday morning when Owen Johnson walked in that door and he said, I did it. I trusted Christ as my Savior. He later told me, I watched you, Bob. I had my eye on you for a long time. One time he was working on my car, and he saw a book lying in the car. I had witnessed to him about the Lord. This book was written by the brother that wrote that book about Satan is on planet Earth and doing well. He said, can I read that book? I said, you can have that book. It was a paperback. He read it. And within 2 weeks' time, he appears at that door. Julian Stevenson had cut his hair and there's no telling how many sermons Julian had given to him over the years. But finally, you know, it's just that brokenness. It's that moment in time when you say, this poor sinner surrenders, Lord. I surrender. Here I am. Here I am. Just as I am. We sang those songs. Just as I am. I don't have any plea. I don't have anything to offer. You see, these hands are empty. I haven't got anything to bring. My life has been a mess. But I'm now a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what happens to all of us when we truly get saved. A change takes place. Thank God for it. And then we're reminded that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, this is what I'm getting to. Now, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is. They're people that go out and they represent the country that they come from. They go to another country and they are to represent our country. They are to stand for what our country stands for. They are to be very careful as to how they conduct themselves. I know, having been in the military, every time we entered a foreign country, we were told, when we went into briefing, you behave yourself like a citizen of the United States is supposed to behave yourself. So often that may have been ignored, but we were told we were ambassadors to that country. That determination that they made about what the U.S. was like, they watched us. They listened to us. They could tell from the way we behaved and all those things. But think about it. This one that had been under the power of Satan, this one that had lived a life that was not for the glory of God, has become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now he's designated as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there are a lot of activities here in this meeting, among our young people especially, that are reaching out and seeking to win souls for Christ. Would to God the old folks could get together and we could have a group that would go out. We get together on Saturday morning and we pray and we talk about these things, but so often not able to get out. Maybe we're limping too much. Maybe something else. We've gotten old. But some energetic young person with Christ in their hearts and a desire to go out and tell others are reaching out, and souls are being touched through the young people in Northgate Chapel. Thank God for it. And pray for them. They are true ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul would say, as though God did beseech you. This is an invitation from God, the God that we look to and honor, creator of all things, looks at you and me and says, look, I'm giving you an opportunity to have a part in the spread of this wonderful message of the gospel. You go into the world. You tell them about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are provided with, that kind of opportunity. We dare not pass it up. Every time, every opportunity you have to tell someone about Jesus, tell them. Don't hold back. Don't be afraid. I've gotten so old, it didn't make any difference to me. I don't what they do to me or what they say to me. I say anything I want to them. You say, you're going to get your block knocked off. So be it. So be it. It's okay. Tell them about Christ. Leave the rest with the Lord. For he hath made him. This is the bottom line. This is it, beloved. We are to represent him to the world in which we live today. You know what he's done for you. I don't have to tell you. You know what he's done for you. You know what he experienced dying upon that cross for you. The song says, how can we do less than give him our very best after all that he's done for you? This is not an option. You say, some people are designated to do it. No, all. Everyone has felt the touch. The hand of God has been laid upon you. And you've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now you have the opportunity to go and tell others. Where's the mission field? I can't go to the mission field. The mission field is right outside that door up there. When you walk out that door, you are in the mission field. You don't have to go halfway around the world on the mission field. We're in the mission field. Foreign missions. There are no foreign missions. Right outside that door, that's the mission field. The message you have to deliver is so wonderful. It's a message that spells the difference between life and death. The wages of sin is death. And we believe from what we've read in the Word of God that every person that's ever lived on the face of this earth, except one person, poor sinners, and they are dead in trespasses and sin, just like I was, just like you were. And they made to be told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of eternal life as a gift from God. And all your sins will be forgiven. John, I think that's enough. Don't you? Okay. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee again for this privilege of gathering here this evening, and pray that the choir will have a good practice, and those of us that are going to the funeral home will be able to add some cheer to some hearts and provide some comfort for those that are sorrowing. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen.